Translation performed by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He Jai. Translation. Lord Brahma, situated in that lotus, could not perfectly understand the creation, lotus or himself. At the end of the millennium, the air of devastation began to move the water and the lotus in great circular waves. Purport. Lord Brahma was perplexed about his creation, the lotus and the world, even though he tried to understand them for one millennium, which is beyond calculation in the solar years of human beings. No one, therefore, can know the mystery of the creation and cosmic manifestation simply by mental speculation. The human being is so limited in his capacity that without the help of the Supreme, he can hardly understand the mystery of the will of the Lord in terms of creation, continuance, and destruction. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Nuvaisnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langaite Girim Yatripata Mahamande Shri Guru Dina Tarnam Paramananda Madam Shri Chaitanish Hare Krishna. So I seek blessings of all assembled devotees. Maharaj is here. By some inconceivable arrangement, I only probably speak once or twice a year, Maharaj is always there. I don't know whether it's Niskinchan Prabhu's special arrangement or... But there are no accidents, I seek the blessings from Maharaj. Thank you so much for being here. And blessings of all the senior devotees, Prayojan Prabhu, and all the devotees online. Someone asked me just now to speak my realizations. I have no realizations. So I'm going to try and share whatever I've heard or read here and there. So we are on the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's entitled, The Status Quo. And the chapter entitled Manifestation of Brahma from Vishnu. And we are on text 16 and 17. So third canto starts with the Vidur. Parikshit Maharaj asking the samvad between Vidur and Maitreya. And then follows on Vidur Uddhava, you know, shares Krishna's pastime inside and outside Vrindavan. Then we come to chapter 5, when the creation questions are asked by Vidur to Maitreya Rishi. So we are in this Vidur and Maitreya Rishi Samvad. So the creation has been explained in 5, and it also was in the second canto earlier, pretty much similar. So this is one of the topics, or of the 10 topics that we have. Saraka Visarga. Sthanam, Poshanam, and then we have Utaya. I'm forgetting. Manmantara Ishanu Katha, Nirodha, and Mukti Ashraya. So I'm nervous. Okay, where we are at the moment, so Lord Brahma has manifested. This is the chapter name, Manifestation of Lord Brahma. And this is the time when the day of Lord Brahma has ended, and then this is the night has begun, and all the creation has entered into Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and including Lord Brahma also goes into sleep with Lord Narayan. And then towards where we are at the moment, Brahma is has, you know, come out of the womb of Garbha is womb of the Lord Vishnu and is here. So the text 16 said, the Brahma born out of the lotus flower could not see the world, although he was situated in the world. First thing I remember of world, first time I read this word, I read at one place where Krishna is sitting with his gopas, says like a lotus flower. So he sits in the center, and all the gopas are around him, and you know they're all sharing the lunch. It was so wonderful arrangement. So lotus flower is very beautiful. Everything happens, you know, with the lotus flower. Also heard like Vrindavan and the Braj is like lotus flower, and how it's quite fascinating to understand. Like there's so much distance now when we go, so much distance. Maharaj has been to Churasikos. There's so much distance, like it takes a month to go around. But Krishna would have the pastimes from one place to the other place, how they're working. So someone said to me, like, how the lotus, you know, when Krishna wants to perform his pastime from one place to the other place, the lotus, like all the petals join together. That's why it becomes like so amazing. So this lotus. And Lord Brahma, it says that while moving his eyes in all directions, he achieved 4 heads in terms of the 4 directions. First thing that came into my mind was, maybe this sounds like a little bit of theory of evolution. It says he moved around, he's trying to see all the 4 directions and he got 4 heads. Sounds like Darwin, isn't it? And I was wondering if Darwin just read this. He could not follow probably the rest of the Bhagavatam. Read this and just stopped it. Okay, that's it. I got my realization. It's from the theory. But this 4 is very interesting. I was thinking, I'm an accountant. I always think of numbers. So 4 and say 4. What are the other 4s that we have? Chatushloki, Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma is 4. And 4 Yugas. Yes, thank you. And interestingly, the first 4 Manasaputra, 4 Kumaras as well. So 4, there are so many. We have 4 regular principles. And 4 times 4, the number of rounds, 16 rounds, which and so many 4s. And one thing that occurred to me is like also when devotees join ISKCON, like Lord Brahma gets the blessing for his service. Because there's so much prasadam in ISKCON, somehow looks like devotees get blessing of 4 stomachs. Somehow we eat so much. That's why, and I was thinking cows also have 4 stomachs, so there's something like that, maybe. I was saying, Namo Brahmane Devaya, Go Brahmane Hitayacha, Degadhitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. So Krishna is looking after his devotees, so even though there are 4 stomachs for cows and devotees, we always get fed. So so that was verse 16, then the verse 17 is, now Lord Brahma is in the lotus, and he's not able to understand the creation, it says the translation, or the lotus or himself, he's lost at the moment. This, I was hearing, this happens, doesn't happen normally, this happened probably at this time, that he's You know, he has to fully understand how the creation has to be done. Otherwise, he sleeps and wakes up. Like the daily activity of Lord Brahma, can we imagine? Like every morning, get up and start creating. But everyone is doing to his capacity. We probably have similar, but not probably some of us serving, but some of us are just pushed. So at the end of millennium, the era of devastation began to move the water. When I read this devastation of water, or the water, you know, it's like is going in circular waves. First thing that came to my mind was our Srila Prabhupada's journey in Jaladuta. How difficult the journey was for him. The ocean was so rough to begin with, the Red Sea in there. And how much struggle Srila Prabhupada has, you know, made to create this beautiful moment that we are able to take advantage here. So we always remember Srila Prabhupada for, you know, the sacrifice that he's done for the service. So this is the service, the parampara of his Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya. And we can see the service is the principle here. Lord Brahma is, you know, he's been given 4 heads to serve. Srila Prabhupada also, you know, it is sacrifice first, meditation first deserve and then desire. So Prabhupada did so much for us. The other point that was quite interesting was Lord Brahma was perplexed about his creation. So perplexity is something not unusual. Probably most of us are used to perplexity. We are always perplexed. And the Srila Prabhupada has made a nice commentary in the Bhagavad Gita verse, Karpanya Dosha Bahata Sabhava. And he talks about perplexity. I'm just going to read it. He says that, 2.7, he says, by nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. In every step there is perplexity, and therefore it behooves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. All Vedic literatures advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexity of life, which happen without our desire. Which is so pertinent, I was thinking that without the guidance of spiritual master, we all were just perplexed. And that is the problem that we have in the world at the moment. We don't have the spiritual masters running the show here. Then I did something else. I said, okay, this sounds interesting. So perplexity is the nice. Kind of went to the few AI tools, like ChatGPT, Gemini, and Grok. I like Grok from... I don't want to name them. And I said, okay, let's understand what's happening around, because Google is not the latest anymore. These are good, better tools. So I said, here's the question. What are the perplexities in the world at the moment? And I was thinking, what perplexities do we have? We should get a summary of all that's going on. Where are people confused? And whether understand whether we have answer for those perplexity on, because we say this is the moment to save the world. Yeah? And everything is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. So it was very interesting. Very interesting. I'm going to read them. Interestingly, one of the side was talking about interesting questions. So this was the question about the origin of life. This is the question over there. There is, people are still perplexed about the origin of life. How does the life come from dead matter? This was the talk there. Then it was talking about the dark matters and consciousness was the other question. The people are perplexed. Scientists have not been able to figure out what the consciousness is all about. They're not able to do that. And interestingly, I'm just conscious of time, the most common, number one perplexity that was there was how to solve the climate challenge, climate problem. Yeah, so Srila Prabhupada has given, I was reading a lot, there's so much in Prabhupada's books. It says that the problem of the climate, it says there is a, in this Srimad Bhagavatam 4th Canto 29:33. This is a good description of an attempt to transfer a burden. So this is a, we're just transferring, what he's saying is we're just moving the burden from one place to the other place. We're trying to solve one problem, but we create another problem. We're constantly trying to patch the hole here and there because there is no guidance, there's no spiritual master running it. It's all being, you know, at the moment run by people who don't know what's the right thing to do. And he says that the human society in the name of civilization is creating one kind of trouble to avoid another kind of trouble. In contemporary civilization, we see that there are many automobiles manufactured to carry us swiftly from one place to other. At the same time, we created other problems. So we create a pollution problem. We try to solve one problem, then another problem. Then we have to construct so many roads and insufficient cope to, you know, then congestion. Then we're trying to fly, then we're trying to go to Mars. We're just trying to constantly solve the problem. But it's not solving any problem, it's just creating more problems. Srila Prabhupada explained so nicely. Then another thing was like inflation. And it was amazing. Prabhupada has given in a talk as well, like how he has nicely explained how our inflation is being caused by, you know, overprinting of the currencies. He says in Bhagavatam, chapter 17:39, it's inflation. Talks about detail how it should be more on the gold-based rather than artificial printing currency. Now again, there's so much chaos being created and people don't know about what to do. Similarly, the other problem was like how to deal with a pandemic situation like that. So what happened is, come on, print more currency. We don't know. We're not prepared for any of these things. And the answer that Srila Prabhupada has always given us, you know, is this, what is the answer? Varnashram Dharma. Sustainable, self-sustained economy, self-sustained communities. Srila Prabhupada was so happy when there was new Vrindavan place was, you know, the 380 some acre was purchased in 1968. He was so excited. He gave the whole detailed plan of how the community should be created. It should be all self-sufficient and produce all our food. Devotees don't need to go out, do anything. That was the solution that was provided by Srila Prabhupada. And the, you know, obviously this is, we can realize that already there's so much problem being created because the food we don't never eat. You know, what is to be eaten? There's no dincharya. There's in the Ayurveda something called dinacharya, ritucharya. So how we should be following? If we read that, like shocking, what's happening with us and what was happening previously, what was recommended. But there is no time. Today's day and time, we just get up, go and just start rushing. Take the train here and there from people like us. You know, devotees are wonderful. But, you know, you are all serving, going out, distributing books. So these books are so important, I was thinking. That means that these books have the solution for everyone. And everyone is experiencing that problems, those all perplexities. When they read the answers here in Prabhupada's books, how wonderful it would be for them to, you know, get the understanding. And for us, actually, to take it to the next level of implementing those solutions. Prabhupada has given the blueprint for you know, sorting out. So it's all there for us to realize. I was thinking was so important and something I really relate to a lot. So then the question comes, you know, about how to deal with this. We are all busy. We have all our natures. Yeah. So, well, other thing that interesting that I was remembering is, about the creation back, when Karna, the Kshaya Vishnu, the Mahavishnu, has created, the process starts, there is Pradhan, which is undifferentiated material energy, modes of material nature there. Mahavishnu glances at the Pradhan and then we have Mahatattva. The glancing of the Pradhan, Mahavishnu impregnates Prakriti with the Jivas, Kala, Karma and Sabhava. So Kala is the time, karma or the fruitive activity that every living entity has to, you know, perform here. And the sabhava, which is their acquired nature. So we all have acquired nature, we probably from many lifetimes have acquired certain nature. So that nature is always stays with us. That's interesting. Unless time we purify our consciousness, we just carrying on, and you know, thanks to now again Prabhupada's books, we are able to understand all the concept of consciousness and what sabhava we have. But how do we get around this? I was thinking is interesting, because the whole of the varnashram is based on the sabhava. How do we process this? There is one verse I really liked when I read that was in the 11th canto. This is the discussion between Nimi Maharaj and Kavi. And he says, Kaena vacha mansendriherva buddhyatmana va anushit sabhava karomi yatya sakalam parasmai narayanaya eti sakal samarpayetat. He says, samarpayetat. So yeah, there is, okay. So we are from Mumbai. When we were small, there will be big Lord Ganesha's pandal. Every year it's being celebrated for 10 days. And he reminded me. So, and every community, we'll have societies, we will have the Ganpati, what we call pandal. And we'll have the Ganesh Puja. And it will always end with this verse. And after this, there will be prasadam, nice sweets. So, you know, so we would always wait for this verse has now come. Now we're going to get prasad. Yeah, that was the slightly different version from Bhagavatam, what we read. So that is says something. So prakriti is, like, use prakriti instead of anushit sabhava, it says prakriti. Anyway, sabhava. So this, our acquired nature, and then the worst translation is maybe you can refer it. By the acquired nature of all of us can offer kayena manasa, we can body, by mind, by words. With that acquired nature, we can offer whatever we do to say, Narayan, Lord Narayan, this is for you. Etat samarpayetat. And that's the only way for purification. That's the best way to purify ourselves. So this swabhava is something that we always work. We have to constantly work with, some of us more than others. And how to resolve this is by offering whatever we do in the service of the Lord. And this is the whole movement Srila Prabhupada has created for us to offer this. And then how do we do this? And this is the thing, like, we have the guidance. Again, it goes back to the same point of, the guidance, spiritual master, Prabhupada's books, and we are all here. And somehow for you to, also work it out. It's also one place Prabhupada said, fly. We have to fly our own plane. That was interesting. At the time when Pandavas left, when they realized Lord Krishna is left this planets, they also start to leave. And then they're not looking behind for Draupadi so what happens then is, Prabhupada writes in their purport there, it was interesting that everyone has to fly their own plane. While you're at the ground, you may get some help. But when you are in the plane, you have to fly. Then you cannot fly other people's plane and others cannot fly your plane. So we have to work out with our own somehow, I was thinking, and work on this, and somehow with the process of purification of consciousness, with chanting of the holy names, we can maybe get some success, and obviously service in the movement of Prabhupada. I was just going to maybe ask any discussions, Maharaj. Half the things I've forgotten today.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Shyam Hari Prabhu, for your wonderful class. Thank you also for all your wonderful service in the Gaushala. It's incredible to see. Just on this last point you made, I was thinking about this recently, about how on one hand, as Vaishnavas, we have to feel very much dependent on other Vaishnavas, that, you know, ekaki amar nahi payabal, alone I have no strength. And then we hear this other side, that you have to be self-sufficient, you have to be strong, you have to fly your own plane, nobody can do it for you. Could you just say something about how we can recognize when we're on an unhealthy extreme? Like, if we're unhealthily too over-dependent on devotees, or if we're unhealthily too independent or feeling like I'm flying my own plane. Can you just say, like, how do we balance that and understand that we're not going to one extreme or the other? Because both things are important.
Yes, thank you, Maharaj. We can answer this question later. I can only share what I think. So the question that Maharaj beautifully asked is, there could be two extremes. One extreme is like we are always dependent on the devotees. Other could be I'm completely independent. So there was one class I heard was, we are interdependent. We cannot be, you know, let's just completely buy or fly our own plane. Is when it does not mean that we just do whatever we like. We are always dependent. We are always dependent in the sense on devotees, on Krishna, on Prabhupada, on books. Understanding, you know, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra to do what we do. But when we say fly our own plane, means this, for example, chanting, you know, we can be sitting chanting with devotees, but we have to, at assumption, control our mind. That no one else can control our mind. Prabhupada says, someone said, how to be more sincere? Because they just become sincere. That's the question. They come, this, when those are the things we are saying, that to work on our own consciousness. We know our best where we are in our consciousness. Nobody else can judge, because we could be, you know, pretending this one. If I'm getting the right side, I don't know if you can understand. We could be. But we only know where we are. So we have to work there. There's no one else going to work on our consciousness, on my purification, on my sincerity, on my chanting, on my reading, on my whatever the instructions have been given to us. We have to do our own things. When it comes to service, when it comes to, you know, understanding, obviously we are always dependent on other devotees. We work with the other devotees in the corporation. So this process of internal purification is flying our own plane. But all the services external is dependent on devotees, I was thinking. Do you want to say? Am I in line with what? Any more discussions?
Thank you, Prabhu. Just this verse you quoted from the 11th canto, that according to what swabhav we have, we should offer that for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. How do we know? Because we understand that we have a conditioned nature and we have to purify that nature. And there's a tendency of thinking, okay, now this is just the way I am. I'm just going to offer this to Krishna as it is. This is how I am. I'm going to be natural. But at the same time, we have to make some endeavor to improve. But then also, we can't expect to be perfect. So how to know how much to want to always offer more, how much to accept that this is where I'm at right now?
So your question, how to know where I am right now and what to offer. For example, I'm saying, okay, Swabhava, what I was trying to say is, the verse is, with your acquired nature. So we have acquired nature. So it's our own acquired nature that we have done, you know, over the so many lifetimes. And we all particularly born with some certain desires. In astrology, there's something called Atma Tattva. That's not astrology class. Atma Tattva. Atma Tattva is with the, in every chart, there's, you know, we have different planets. One of the planets will have the highest degrees, the maximum degree. And it's interesting that it says that the Atma Tattva is with that planet. I mean, this is Ayurvedic, sorry, astrological answer, but just trying to just relate it to the question, is that we are here to learn our lessons in life. What is the particular, you know, aspect of myself that I need to work on? It's always there. We all know, to be honest, if we chant and if we are associating with devotee with sincerity, I think we will all know what sides I need to work on. I think we are all there. Most of us would know. It doesn't take long. Because it's Krishna's blessing, and this is the blessing that we get from Krishna to get out of the anarthas, anarthani, to get rid of all these, you know, undesired swabhavas. But when it comes to service, because we still, but we can't say that I cannot serve until the time I'm fully pure, because the service is pure, we are devotees, are, you know, Lord is, you know, being served here, so we cannot do this. So this is the journey of purification of consciousness, that where we are, we start serving and then following the regulative principles, and the sadhana process itself gradually purifies us to be able to then, you know, serve with the correct understanding. But we can never stop saying that I'm not pure at the moment, so I will do it only when I am. Is that right? I'm understanding your question right, sorry. Is that making sense?
Hare Krishna Babaji, thank you for your lovely class, thank you. The question I have is regarding chanting. How do you know your chanting is working to start with? And sometimes you chant, you try to hit the number 16 to get tick for the day after number 16 rounds. What's the indication that your chanting is actually working, and plus you're doing the chanting in the right way, which is most important, I guess, than just hitting the number 16 rounds? So how do you know this as an individual?
Okay, so how do we know whether chanting is working or not working? This is the question, isn't this? A very interesting question. It's various stages. Chanting is various stages. We're all in the similar situation. We're not chanting pure names. Like we always been chant. Prabhupada said, when we start chanting, it's like brooming the room. You know, when the room has been locked for a very long time, start brooming and we get is dust. So it's interesting, when we start chanting, all the dust automatically starts to come there, and we have to keep chanting until the time. So the realization that I can probably share from whatever little I have is, the chanting is a process of cleansing. Cheto darpana marjanam is a process of cleansing. As we are chanting, we will understand our follies, our faults, and also we get, this is the blessing actually, every time we understand where we are in our journey, how chanting helps is, it gives us inclination to serve. When we start to, you know, think about, this is my understanding, now I can start serving devotees, that means there's some blessings coming. Because initially we are all like childlike. A child is always looking for, what do I want? What do I want? You know, I want this, I want this. So the chanting starts with, you know, for me even today, I want this, I want that, I need to this sorted, get that sorted. So we have desire. When we start to mature in our chanting, we start to think of, oh, how can I serve? So when the chanting starting to work, it's working all the time. See, there is no doubt that the chanting holy name works. Yeah, Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinna Nama Namino. Yeah, so Krishna, this holy name, this Purna, is always pure. It's always Nitya Mukto, is always liberated. There's nothing to do with the gunas. The holy names always work. There is no doubt. So if you take with that assumption, this is always going to work. So there is no doubt about that. We should never have a doubt that it's not working. It's just the process itself, and we will have various stages of, you know, in that journey. And the other thing is, chanting is not the end to anything. It's not a means to an end. Prabhupada, someone asked a question, Prabhupada, when you're chanting, what will you get? More chanting. So when we desire to chant more, that's the other thing. When you say, okay, now 16, as you said, 16 round done. The day we say, oh, I want to chant more, someday it will happen. Then we say, now this is all. So this is the journey, but All right, this is a very nice question. So I want to say that.
Thank you, Boo. My question is about, in terms of art, AI and Varnashram, if it has a place in Varnashram, like a natural living, like we see, like, is used in farming and to minimize water and things like this for efficiency. But I'm just wondering if it's always a downside or if we'll put people out of the job and stuff like this, if it's actually practical in Varnashram society.
Yeah, that's a nice long question. So where we are at the moment, where we want to be, because I know myself, if I have to say, okay, I've give up this and I want to now go full time into, you know, cow production farming, I don't know how to do it. It's going to be it's not easy to take people out of the job and do this. This is not a 1 year, 5 year solution. This is a long term. This is the force of Kali Yuga. We've gone down so far now, exactly the climate control situation. Nobody knows how to bring it back. This is the perplexity. How do we bring it back? It's impossible. Almost seems like impossible to get there. And we have to realize we are in Kali Yuga anyway. So we know from the Shastra that where it is going to go. But Prabhupada and devotees have the power to push back, like, you know, how Parikshit Maharaj pushed back Kali. So it's a process, a gradual establishment of the community. There are some examples in Hungary and, you know, other places in the world where, you know, some empowered souls have done something. But we always have to depend on Krishna. In the end, we depend on Krishna and Vaishnavas, how we can do it. But it seems like there's a solution there. When we do a little bit, if we do a small template, then we say, how can we now make that template as what we call implementation of the bigger. So small template is our attempt. And every time I do something, like, I feel like, oh yeah, there's so much we can get from Mother Earth, like so much we can't even collect. First time I realized, when I was coming from India, I'd never seen an apple tree. Moved in a house and there was apple tree in the back garden. There were so many apples coming. Like one tree can give like tons of apples. I thought, this is amazing. Like we have to buy five apples for, I don't know, India, 500 rupees. But there's like so many. And this is where what experience is like that. Krishna is giving everything. We get, it's all there. But, you know, the implementation obviously is not easy. I agree.
For a wonderful class, brilliant. I wanted to respond to the chanting bit, if it's okay. I'm just thinking about, I think it depends what you're looking for, what level is your chanting. Are you actually having a desire for something like we do in the material world? If I do this, I'll receive this, and this is what my aim is. Or do you go in a really clear mood and to chant and see what happens, and you will develop that kind of feeling that you is different than the feeling you're presently in, and it takes you to a different planet and different plane, and so you have to be prepared and let it be, let you know, be yourself, be relaxed about it. You don't have to aim for something, I want something or. You know, and I think it will happen. But if the sincerity of it is the best, because if you really want to do it, you put your heart in it, and you get the best out of it. And one little question, Prabhu, if you don't mind, I don't know if this is a silly question, but it's when you mention about Brahmas, the end of Lord Brahma, what happened to him then? I'm just curious.
Say again, Sadhi.
You know, you mentioned early in the talk about Lord, the end of Brahma. This was the end.
This is the day and night. This day of Brahma is ending, night, and the night ends. Lord Brahma starts to create. He goes to sleep and starts to create. For the lifetime of 100 years of Lord Brahma, this is what he's doing every day. After the lifetime, we have the full Mahavishnu will, you know, inhale. This is the Markandesh. There is a pastime in the 12th canto about Markandeya Rishi. he desires to see the illusory potency of the Lord, and he's a very powerful sage, and he gets the blessing very quickly as Lord Narayan comes and gives him blessing. Okay, he says, I want to see the illusory potency. So he goes there and he starts to see the dissolution at some stage, and he sees, walks to a place where there was a little island, and he sees little baby there, and he's very attracted to the baby. And then the baby inhales, and Markandeya Rishi goes straight into the stomach, and then next thing, he can see within the stomach, he can see the whole of creation. And Lord exhales again, he pops, I'm summarizing even the time, is out again, and he can see, you know, it's the same again, the devastation. So the end of the creation, this is the, everything gets into God, Mahavishnu's body. This is the end of the whole creation. There are three levels of dissolution. Bhagavatam will explain as you go on of how it happens. But it gets recreated. And my understanding, Lord Brahma is the position. It's not the same Lord Brahma. Sometimes Lord himself can take position of Vishnu, of Brahma. But a new Brahma can come in.
Because he's still alive, isn't he?
It's always there. Brahma is our parampara, you know. It's always serving the Lord. We are all, nobody died. Okay. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for tolerating.